This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 162. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Yet another Superman controversy, our weekly Flashpoint roundup, Ollie is snoozerific, and Northwind takes a dive. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, June 26, 2011. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. And you can subscribe via iTunes, where you could please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like it's at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Mark, hop right in.
Okay. Superman number 712 by Busiek and Lenardi.
What?
Wait, that's not the regular creatives that are on this. What's going on? Well, this is a fill-in story that was changed at the last minute, and there's a whole story about that. It was originally solicited as part of the Grounded storyline that's been going on all year that Straczynski
really
started.
Likes, yeah.
Yeah, that nobody really likes. Now, what's interesting is, as of yesterday when I was writing up notes for the show, you could go to dccomics.com and see the original solicitation listed as comics for this week, even though it's not the right thing. They had actually changed the cover to the right thing, but not the text.
Wow.
So somebody at the website kind of asleep at the switch. And as you listen to this, you can even go and see if it's still that way. So here's what the original text was for this issue. Meet Los Angeles' new superhero in the latest chapter of Grounded, Sharif. But Sharif discovers that in today's current cultural climate, some people don't want his help. They just want him gone. Can Superman aid Sharif and quell a prejudiced public? Or are there some problems too big for even the Man of Steel to solve?
You know, that sounds a whole lot like that storyline that was going on with the terrorist, in quotes, on the airplane that got
in Power Girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
Well, that's...
Maybe they thought there was too much perceived Muslim prejudice in their comics.
Could be. And that's one of the questions. Was it pulled due to the Muslim references? Now, Sharif is not a new character. He was introduced in 1990 as a Muslim hero, created by William Messner Loebs and Kurt Swan. I couldn't believe Kurt Swan was still creating characters in 1990. So DC just dealt with a lot of media concerns that came up when that little tiny two-page story in Action 900 that talked about Superman renouncing his U.S. citizenship. So I'm wondering if they're a little gun-shy right now. They don't want to get too much into controversy. Or, as Bleeding Cool believes, it was all about Superman getting a cat out of a tree, which was in the original story that was supposed to go in there. It was considered to be too corny and heavy-handed.
If that was the case, though, why not just take out that part of the story?
Exactly. Now, another part of this is that George Perez did a variant cover of this, and it's now going to be the variant for the last issue prior to the reboot. He's not happy about it, and he went public saying how unhappy he was. And guess who the new Superman writer-artist is? That would be George Perez.
Oops.
Great way to get your new creative unhappy with the situation.
In the spirit of things.
Yeah. So in terms of the news story, it's not really new at all. It's a Kurt Busiek tale from 2006 at the end of Infinite Crisis. So Superman's gone. Superboy is dead. Crypto can't find his two masters. It's a Crypto story. Crypto is sad. There's not a lot of dialogue. It's a very touching story, really. And it's a shame it wasn't just used then and ended up getting lumped into this whole controversy.
Do we know why it wasn't used then?
There's no information as to why they pulled it. It was actually a very nice, gorgeous artwork and a really nice story.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good story. but not quite in the current flow of things.
Right. In the current flow, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Because it's a story from 5 years ago. All right. Well, I think it's time for the old Flashpoint Roundup.
And we're not even reading all of the Flashpoint books.
Right. We start with The Outsider, 1 of 3, by Robinson and Fernandez. This strange child is born to Indian parents, and his birth takes out the town. Basically, some mini black hole or something occurs that wipes out hundreds of thousands of people and destroys the town. And he's got this all whitish skin, kind of rock-like skin. And as an adult, he builds this huge business empire pretty much as a war profiteer. So it's really unclear, is he a bad guy? Is he a good guy? Is he just a mercenary? What is he?
He's the outsider.
Right. At one point, Alfred Pennyworth is killed off panel.
Yeah, that struck me as being poor use of poor Alfred.
Yeah. We also meet Mr. and Mrs. Terrific, but not for very long because they're quickly dispatched. So we really still don't know who he is. He doesn't seem to have a connection to a known character. The closest he might have is Metamorpho, at least from what he looks like. But
not origin-wise.
Not origin-wise or power-wise. So I'm wondering, maybe this is a character that James Robinson had sitting around, and he's like, hey, I could shoehorn this into this whole Flashpoint thing.
I guess I didn't see how he got from being this strange kid who survived apocalypse to
what he is now.
What he was, which was somebody who had followers that would die for him.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, riches galore and knowledge beyond belief.
Yeah. It just kind of jumps forward very quickly, especially after a very long origin story, frankly. It went on for 5 or 6 pages. It probably could have been done in about 2.
Right.
So you could actually explain how he got from that point as a baby to an adult. Lois Lane and the Resistance, 1 of 3, by Abnett, Lanning, and Nunez. So Lois without Superman, I think, is still an interesting character. In this case, she happens to be in Paris when it gets flooded. She's with Jimmy. Jimmy dies in the flood.
When he was trying to rescue people.
Right. And the Amazons, who of course have taken over the UK and are fighting Emperor Aquaman in this separate continuity, they rescue, quote unquote, the survivors. The men are basically put into slavery, and the women are re-educated.
But they only rescued the people they really wanted. They didn't take the priest.
Right.
So he was left to probably starve or whatever.
Whatever happened. So Jimmy's camera that Lois manages to salvage is actually a communicator device to Cyborg. And Jimmy was a secret agent for Cyborg, trying to get in to find out what's going on in Europe.
That did not strike me as odd, though.
No,
because Jimmy was friends with Superman.
Right. And so Jimmy's now would be friends with Cyborg.
Right.
Lois agrees to take Jimmy's role as a secret agent, and Lois ends up getting into this Amazon program where she's re-educated, and we'll find out more in the next issue as to what happens to her.
Well, didn't it say something about you go through a change where they give you Amazon powers?
Right. But apparently it's not working very well.
Before that.
Right. Right.
Then something else happens.
Yeah.
And, we'll see.
We'll see.
I like Lois Lane, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I like her better without Superman. I mean, I think I will like the comic when they're not married anymore.
Because it will make more sense, frankly. Because, yeah, sure, they're married today, but do they ever see each other?
Right.
It's got to be rare events when they actually get to see each other. What's the point?
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Yeah.
Kid Flash Lost, 1 of 3, by Gates, Noam, and Scott. They spend a lot of time retelling pre-Flashpoint period in the Flash title, and we learn where Bart ended up in this whole change of continuity. He's trapped in some sort of virtual reality machine, and he realizes he's trapped, and he escapes with help from Hot Pursuit, who we thought was dead. Well, apparently that Hot Pursuit is dead, but there's another Hot Pursuit, who is Patty Spivot, and Patty Spivot is this character they reintroduced in the new Flash title actually comes from the Silver Age. She was a co-worker with Barry in the police lab.
She had a crush on Barry.
Yeah, she had a crush on Barry, and she ended up moving away from Central City because of that. So she came back in the Flash title and somehow got trapped into this whole change of continuity thing, and now she's hot pursuit. So they're in the year 3011, and Brainiac took over the Earth 500 years ago. And if all that happens, then Bart wouldn't exist. Because Bart, of course, also comes from the future. So his future was changed to the point where he doesn't exist anymore. So it's Back to the Future is what it is. He's starting to disappear, yada, yada, yada.
I like the Patty Spivot turn.
Didn't see that coming. I did not pick up the Reverse Flash one-shot. From what I'm reading, it turned out to be retelling old stories and no actual new information.
Were those the only Flash titles that came out this week?
Yes.
Okay. So that must be the one our store sold out of.
Right.
Okay.
I also read that the cover of Reverse Flash actually has one of three on it, which it shouldn't, because it's a one-shot. And they've stated it is a one-shot. So somebody just screwed up. Or this is another last-second decision to make it a one-shot. I don't know. Green Arrow number 13 by Patrick and Padilla.
Okay. I get to talk about this one.
Yes, go right ahead.
I fell asleep reading it.
And
that's all I want to say.
And I don't blame you. This title was tied very closely to Brightest Day. And now that Brightest Day is over, they're vamping until the reboot. It's just a very generic story. We know that Ollie changes a huge amount in the reboot because suddenly he's a billionaire again. So they just have to kind of soft shoe for a while until, oh, it's September. I just don't understand why they didn't just cancel the title. They should have ended it with Brightest Day and restarted again in September.
Well, do they think perhaps, well, first of all, my question is, you use Comixology.
Yeah.
Are you going to need to resubscribe to everything in Comixology? Or would the Green Lantern continue, or I'm
Green
sorry,
Arrow.
Green Arrow continue, but with number one?
My guess is I'll have to resubscribe.
Okay. I mean, my thought was that they didn't cancel them because that way they would keep people on their polls.
Well, it, not officially, but I think it would help. It would make people more likely to continue it when it gets to September, but not officially. It wouldn't automatically stay in their polls, I doubt. That kind of goes back to the old days when a comic would stay on the shelves for years and years and years simply because it was so hard to get a new comic into the flow.
Okay.
But today, of course, with direct titles, they can do that pretty much at will. And it's just not sure why they didn't just cancel it, though. You may have the point that it might have
you would
had
get
some
used
more people,
to not having
right,
it, and then
You just wouldn't pick it up again. But in, for 2 months, I'm not sure. Fables 106 from Vertigo by Willingham and Buckingham. This is the conclusion to Super Team. So Northwind and Mr. Dark have it out. Northwind has realized he can get out of his obligation to kill his grandchild because he says, well, death cancels all obligations. So they're battling and Dark is like, I surrender, I lose. And it's like, no, that's not good enough. We're both gonna go. And he and Dark get thrown into the Casket of Primordial Winds, which sounds like a D&D artifact.
But it is a big box.
Yeah.
Or a small box.
Yeah. And then it's in Bellflower's hands, which she then buries the casket. And so all the prep for the big fight was for naught.
It was sort of anticlimactic.
Yeah.
But this is what I said was going to happen, that, you know, Northwind was looking for a way not to kill his grandchild.
Right. And this is the way to do it. So we see views from various fables as to, oh, geez, I missed the whole thing.
And some people thought Blue came back.
Right.
And some animals thought Blue came back.
Right. And Red sees her mother again. It's not, is it really her mother or we don't know? At least I'm not sure.
I don't know. I thought we should know who it was. And perhaps maybe somebody listening to this will tell us who it was.
There was a character who when they retold Red's origin, but this was a little while back, this character showed up.
Right.
And I think it's, I assume it's the same character.
Yes, yeah. But we still don't know
who she really is.
Who she really was.
Right.
Unless she was like the fairy godmother.
Yeah. And so she tells Red she's going to need to be prepared for what's coming. So again, this is pretty much what Fables does. They have a major arc, then they prep for the next arc. And so now we're going to move into the next arc. And they also need to find a new North Wind.
And it can't be Bigby.
Right. So it has to now be one of Bigby and Snow's children.
Why couldn't it be Ghost, the little Zephyr?
Could well be.
That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to end up being.
I still like Fables a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. All right, before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Okay, go.
Movie related?
No.
TV related?
Yes.
TV show, one TV show?
Yes.
A TV show that's just coming back on, like a summer show?
Yes.
But it's a show coming back on?
Yes.
Well, based on all the hype, I'm guessing it's True Blood.
Okay. And so that means who's on the cover?
That girl who was in the piano.
Girl? And what's her name?
I don't know.
I'm going to sit here until you give me a guess.
Let's see.
I guess.
Suki is her name on the show.
Uh-huh.
And her... not Claire Danes. What the heck is her name?
Okay. We'll stop. I don't like the dead air. Anna Paquin.
Ah, that's it.
There were multiple covers, but we didn't actually get our Entertainment Weekly. I don't know if she was on all the covers or just one of them or what.
Oh, well, so just want to remind you that you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email us at sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9-SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.